Steve and Johnny. They are good friends of mine. Well, I just tune them in. WGN overnight. Steve and Johnny. Chicago's pride and joy. They give life after dark for all of us to enjoy. Yes, we enjoy. Keep it up and listen up, and they'll be there
at your side.
Life after dark is where I'll be forevermore. Gonna be some
sweet sounds,
sweet sounds.
Night shift.
Oh, on the night shift, you'll feel like family. With Steve and Johnny. Gonna be a at home, you know you're not alone.
On a night shift,
you'll never be alone. With Steve and Johnny on the night shift.
Hey kids, him and her on the radio. I thought we'd do something a little different tonight. That's our friend Stormy Weather. How many years ago did they record that for us?
That's probably a couple of decades.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Some of the guys are still hanging out and performing, and that was not Henry Farag, the lead singer from Stormy Weather, singing lead on that.
No, that was, I'm trying to think who sang lead on that.
Yeah, he had a great voice.
We're going to have to get in touch with Henry.
Yeah, find out what's up with him.
He just posted, I think he just had a birthday recently and posted something on Facebook. Hi.
We're happy to be here.
Yeah. In fact, if you are on the drive, I wouldn't be surprised if there is still a bit of a mess there. When we came in, and Johnny posted some pictures. You can go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. And you'll see the pictures as we were coming just past the LaSalle exit. All of a sudden, the anchor dropped and we stopped.
And it was a sea of red lights.
There was a horrible accident. There was one car, as we're driving south, one car in the left lane that was completely turned around.
It looked like it came out of the northbound lanes and over the median into the southbound lanes, and it was facing the oncoming traffic. There were enough police cars there to get everybody else around the accident scene. And then as we got about a quarter of a mile down Lakeshore Drive, on the right-hand side was the vehicle that's sitting on the shoulder with the police officers. And those wheels, the car is facing southbound, the wheels are facing eastbound.
Yeah.
A hard east turn. Very weird.
Crossing the highway late last night. He should have looked left and he should have looked right. He didn't see the station wagon car. The skunk got squashed and there you are. You got your dead skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road. Stinking to high heaven.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Those of you who have been hanging out at WGN for more than a minute, they have a clue about why we are playing that. You rarely hear that song anymore. It was a huge hit by Loudon Wainwright III.
But not when it was first released.
Nope.
It was released, I think, in 72, and it was a couple of years that it became huge because of this radio station and one person in particular
who drove management nuts every time he would play it.
It was the one and only Bob Collins. And when he played Dead Skunk, he would rock out to it. And Loudon Wainwright III thanked Bob Collins for making it a hit.
And I mean, it was a more than million seller.
It was.
And, when it made the charts, it was on the charts forever.
Yes, yes.
And that was one of a couple songs that Bob used to drive management nuts with. One of the others was our friend Screamin' Jay Hawkins.
Mm-hmm.
I Put a Spell on You.
Yep.
And we're thinking about Bob because we were all stunned to realize that it was a quarter of a century ago, 25 years ago Saturday.
I'm still shaking my head. No, I just cannot believe it was 25 years ago because it's one of those memories that's so fresh.
That horrible plane crash.
Yep.
That Bob and some other people lost their lives in. And that was an afternoon. We'll never forget that afternoon because we heard there was a plane crash, and then radio and TV started mentioning that there was a plane crash, and Spike Odell was on in the afternoon at that mm-hmm. point.
With Tom Peterson.
And to cut to the chase, all of us knew before it was announced on the air that sadly Bob had lost his life, but one of the reasons it wasn't announced on the air is because they wanted to wait to have someone get the news to Bob's wife, Christine.
Yes, yes. My last words to and from Bob that morning, he was opening the blinds to let the day in, because we'd been doing the all-night show, and he always came in and mm-hmm. walked behind me and massaged my shoulders and slapped me on the head, and then he'd walk over and he'd open the Venetian blinds, and we were in a commercial break, and as he was opening the blinds, he said, "Well, Johnny Gale, it looks like it's going to be a great day to fly." And it was an unusually mild and sunny February day.
And that evening, and we've I know we've talked about this before, but it was one of those moments that really underscored what a special place this radio station is. We didn't start our show till 11 at night. We came into the radio station between about 6 and 7 in the mm-hmm. evening. And when we got here, Spike was here, John Williams was here, Kathy and Judy were here. Everybody was here.
Everybody in management was here.
Because we needed to be with our radio yeah. family. I've never witnessed that kind of family emotion from any radio mm-hmm. station.
It was just like losing a member of your family. Yeah. And so we all had to be together. And it was that night and 9/11 were the two toughest nights on the radio, because we once again decided that our show, our six-hour show, would be like a psychiatrist's couch. You open up the phones and you let people talk. You let them weep and you let them just share their memories, and that's what we did.
And it was that way for the entire show. And as hard as that was to do, I think you would agree one of the hardest moments mm-hmm. was near the end of the show. There was a man named Perry Miller. Perry Miller, we jokingly called him the newspaper man to the stars, because this was back in the day when Perry Miller had this newspaper distribution service. He operated it out of the main lobby of the Tribune Tower. He would make sure that the morning newspapers got to all of the media, from TV to radio stations to whatever. And we were used to, between about 4:30 and 5, Perry would bring in the morning's papers. And when he brought in the morning's papers that morning, and Bob Collins' face and the headline and the pictures of the plane crash
yeah.
were on the front page, and we just lost it.
I mean, we were sitting there with our microphones on, and when the paper flopped down in front of me, and the front page of the Sun Times was the picture of the crashed plane.
Yeah.
I was not prepared for that, because we'd had 6 hours, 5.5 hours of cathartic conversation with a certain amount of tears, but we were holding it together. But at that point, that was it. All bets are off.
Show where Bob would usually, yeah, you know, we would do the transition between our show and Bob's show.
Right.
And as John Williams pointed out, because this was a quarter of a century ago, there are probably people listening to us right now who don't know who we're talking about. And do yourself a favor, if you don't know, go to WGNradio.com.
Yeah.
And on the front page, you will find a link to the WGN Archives, Remembering Bob Collins and a Day That WGN Will Never Forget. This radio station has been responsible for many personalities who became a part of the fabric of this city. Certainly Wally Phillips was, Spike, and any of a number of people. But Bob Collins was special, and that's not to take away anything from any of the other people I've mentioned. The day that Bob Collins' funeral was held, Channel 9 televised it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cardinal officiated at Bob's funeral.
Right. And the roads were closed at Holy Name all around. And there was a flyover. And it was as though a dignitary had passed. And again, it just seemed like we were all saying, well, what are we going to do? How do we go on? And Spike stepped into the morning show. It just, if we thought it was difficult on our end, I can't even, to this day, I can't imagine what that was like for him.
And to this day, I don't think that Spike Odell has ever received the credit that he deserved for stepping into that position under the worst circumstances you could imagine. And respectfully honoring Bob, but also taking it on and making it his own show.
Yes. But take the time to listen to some of the wonderful things that are posted at WGNradio.com. Some of the funny things. If you're not familiar with him, you have to hear this man's laugh. You have to hear his voice, and you will say to yourself, oh my gosh, someone thought that voice was good for radio? Yes, someone did.
You know,
it was brilliant.
You know what we need to find? And Julian, I don't think it's up there, but if you can do a search somewhere, YouTube or someplace, there is the audio of the Three Bald Snowman
joke. Oh, Lord.
This was an exchange. We used to have this a few moments of crossover talk with Bob, and it was during that.
I was doing traffic with him.
Oh, that's right. That was later, and I was thinking.
Yeah, because I was doing traffic with him for 7 years, and it had snowed a little bit, and I said, "Yeah, we had quite a bit of snow in our neighborhood," and he said, "Really? We didn't have any," and I said, "Yeah, enough to make a three-ball snowman." Well, he just lost it,
and he would lose it, and then there would be this kind of pregnant pause.
And then he'd start cackling again about the three-balled snowman. Well, as I was taking the decorations off our Christmas tree, we must have a dozen three-balled snowmen that people have sent me over the years as gifts. I think they would see a three-balled snowman, and they would remember him laughing so hysterically. And I remember thinking, I had a blonde moment. I was like, why is he laughing so hard? And he was crying. And so that became a part of the best of Bob. Yeah. And some of the funny things that they have posted, we have posted at WGNradio.com, his furtive family of fine frogs.
Yep.
Love that. commercials that he did, live commercials, and when he would do a commercial, if he took a left turn, it would become radio gold.
Yeah.
I mean, you knew that the sponsor was just going, yay, he just ran our commercial and made it 4 minutes long, and it's brilliant.
That was one of the things that was unique to this radio station.
Mm-hmm,
you
yes.
were given the freedom, if there was a moment like that, just go with it.
Yes.
And the sponsors understood you weren't being disrespectful of the sponsors.
Right. There was a cleaners. He had a commercial for a cleaners that would clean your wedding dress, and he suddenly stopped and he said, "Well, what do you get on a wedding dress?" And he just went off on a tangent about stains on a wedding dress, and he was crying. Just his imagination mm-hmm. just took him to places that, as you were driving to work or just waking up, you're listening and you had to laugh. It was just that simple.
And speaking of laughing, I will never forget one of the funniest afternoons I can ever recall spending. The two of us with Bob and Christine when we went to see
Naked Gun.
And literally, I have no idea.
There was nobody else in the theater.
It was a Northwest suburban theater. And for whatever reason, we were literally the only four people in the theater in the afternoon. The movie had just opened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good that it was only the four of us, because we were all just losing it.
We had popcorn. We were throwing popcorn. We were like teenagers. It was just so funny. And that was the same day that we went to a restaurant and the first time we saw anyone in public walking around with a cell phone.
Was Bob Collins.
And he walked through the restaurant talking on his cell phone. And we just stood back going, dang, I ain't never seen that before.
He was all about the
technology.
In fact, it was because of Bob that we had the first cell phone put in our car.
Yes, yes. A listener named Rob from Indiana says, all week they've been talking about the 25th anniversary of Uncle Bobby's death. I want to say that his laugh was contagious. He could be serious, like when he was promoting the Good Neighbor food drive at Christmas. Mm-hmm. No one ever replaced him. If he liked you, he gave you a nickname. Spike was Billy Spike.
Yep.
And Johnny, you were Johnny Gale. Not just Johnny Gale. It was Johnny Gale, the pride of Frog Jump, mm-hmm. Tennessee. And thanks to him, Frog Jump, Tennessee actually became a tourist stop in Tennessee. We found that out because when we went to Frog Jump, Tennessee, we stopped at my great uncle's general store and they had made t-shirts and hats for the people who would get off mm-hmm. the interstate to drive through Frog Jump to see if it really existed, because Uncle Bobby talked about it all the time. Can't believe it's 25 years.
Yeah.
But seriously,
go to WGNradio.com and click on the archives. There are a number of things.
Some good stuff. Really good stuff. You will laugh. You may cry, but you will certainly, you'll get a good laugh out of it.
A bite-sized show tonight. In a few minutes, we're going to check in with a guy that we've been fans of for a long time, Tommy Castro. Brilliant. Blues, rock, singer, guitar player, has mm-hmm. a wonderful new album out. And in fact, we all have a pick to click from this album.
Yes, his 18th album.
Yeah, for Alligator Records.
It just came out the other day, just a couple days ago.
And he's going to be at Evanston Space mm-hmm. this coming week, so we're going to talk with him in a little bit. Also,
we got to talk a little bit about Super Bowl coming up. Some of the crazy things you can bet on at the Super Bowl. I love some of that.
Yeah, you can bet
stuff.
On anything.
You know, what color will the Gatorade be?
Yeah.
But more importantly, the big bet is, will Travis propose to Taylor after the game?
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
Yes, that's a big thing.
When did that become
a
thing?
There are odds in Vegas about whether or not he's going to propose to her at the end of the game.
I missed that one.
Uh-huh.
We've got a bunch of things coming up tonight. Julian, you were at the auto show this week, right?
I was indeed.
And?
It was okay. No, I'm just kidding. I had a good time. I always have a good time every time I go, but noticeably smaller.
Yeah.
I will
yeah.
say that.
And a lot of EVs, you said.
Yeah, a lot of EVs. They were really just, hey, EV, EV. There's an EV.
Really?
Okay, money's no object. What car that you saw would have come home with you?
Well, I got to do a test drive, and I'm drawing a blank on it. It was a Dodge something, but I loved it.
Was it sporty? Was it a coupe? Was it?
It was kind of. It was a little bit of almost like a muscle car. It had that muscle car look. It reminded me of a Challenger in the way that it looked.
Okay.
I got to remember the name of this.
What Dodge is known
for? It wasn't the Charger, was it? Because they've got a very cool Charger that is an EV, but oh boy, is it powerful.
Yeah, like lots and lots of horsepower. Yeah. You did some great video. Did you take a bunch of pictures too?
Yeah, I took a ton of pictures. I showed you guys a video of me doing a Kia. What was it? The Kia Telluride.
Telluride, yeah. Yes.
The off-road, and you can... In the video, my head is just bobbing, and I feel like I'm on a roller coaster. It was one of the coolest things.
And you were lucky because you were early in the morning for press people, so you didn't have to worry about the kids standing in line to ride. And it seemed like you were one of very few people that were there.
Yeah, it was a very slow morning for sure. And then around maybe 10:30 is when a lot more media people started to show up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was very peaceful, very relaxing. I ran into Michael Piff there. He was doing something for Lou ahead of time.
Oh, that's right, because Lou was there Saturday morning, bright and early. It's 6 o'clock.
At the Chevy exhibit, I believe.
Yep.
Bob Fukuda's in studio with us. We were talking about how engineer Adam Phillips was out there really early in the morning because he had to set up everything, right?
Right. Yeah.
So he was probably out there 4 or 5 in the morning.
Easy.
Yeah. That's the time to walk around and look at things. That's the time when you can get in the cars.
Adam was saying that he thought he might drive home with a new vehicle.
A new truck. He's a truck guy. Yeah. Yes. Which I don't understand. Every time we pull in the garage in this building, I'm like, I don't want to be in a truck. I'm just happy we were able to clear the over, when the door goes up, I'm like, okay, are we going to make it? But he drives a big honking truck.
Yeah, because the garage we park in this building is not the basement garage area does not have tall ceilings.
I feel like I can touch the ceiling. Like, just on my tiptoes, I can touch the ceiling of that garage. Of course, I'm kind of weird about that garage anyway. Every time we get out of the car, I go, let's get upstairs real quick. I don't like it down here. It's nice and bright, but it's still freaky. Bad things happen in garages, so run.
Bad things happen in garages.
That's right. So run. I've seen those movies before. Oh, thank you, guys. 312-981-7200. A bunch of people are texting in about Bob. And I love this one. The cackle from the ad for Rex's Cork and Fork is priceless. That's one of the commercials that you will hear if you go to WGNradio.com. Rex's Cork and Fork. Long since closed, I would imagine, but he helped put them on the map just because of the live commercial that he cackled all the way through. Oh, we're going to take a break, and coming up, we're going to be talking to a guy who just released his 18th album. He's Tommy Castro here on WGN.
Just thinking about how this woman tried to ruin my life. For 3 long years, she spent my hard-earned dough. Said she wanted to become my wife. Well, I moved just before I blew it. I packed my bags when I got here to it. I woke up, smelled the coffee, baby. I got on out.
King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. I love that.
You have to move. Yeah, I mean, or call the Undertaker, right?
Woke up and smell the coffee. That is Tommy Castro.
Wake up and smell the coffee, guys.
Yes. Hey, Tommy Castro, welcome to WGN and congratulations on your new album.
What a great album. And we're not just saying that. In fact, in a few minutes, we're going to play you what... Without talking to each other, we all decided there is one song on that album that would be our pick to click.
Yes.
We love it.
So, thank you for joining us tonight.
In the morning, right? Wake up and smell the coffee. My mom used to say that to me when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
And so, when I, my old friend Chris Kane recorded this song about 30 years ago. Who'd have thought, you know, Chris Kane did anything 30 years ago.
Hmm.
But yes, that's where we are now. I mean, I remember when it first came out. He's an artist from San Jose, California, where I come from.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the best guitar players ever. I don't know if you guys are that familiar with him or not, but he's a good friend of mine. And he's known on the blues scene. You know, most people who follow blues music know about Chris, but he's not, you know, he's not like Eric Clapton,
mm-hmm.
right,
or anything like that. Not everybody knows who Chris is.
Yeah.
So, and one of the things I wanted to do in this record was cover some songs by a few friends of mine that had some really good songs that, you know, maybe not everybody had a chance to get a hold of their music.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, I was looking for a traditional blues album this time out, and so I picked some songs by a couple of friends of mine, as well as you know, a few of my own,
right?
And that one there kind of just jumped out. I mean, I always liked that song by Chris, and mm-hmm. I think the reason it always connected with it is because my mom did say that to me a lot.
That's sweet.
one of the many things I love about the album is that you didn't do a lot of the things that you would expect to hear on a blues album. You're taking us in some different directions, and I could be wrong, but so much of this album sounds like it was recorded live in the studio. Was that the case?
That was the idea. Yeah. Are you guys familiar with Kid Anderson, Rick Astron and the Nightcap, those guys?
Well, he's your producer. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So Kid is, he's just one of the, he's a genius. He's a guy, you know, he came here from Norway when he was like a teenager, I guess, and he moves here now. I think he has a green card or something like that. But he likes it here, and he's gonna stay. And he worked with Charlie Musselwhite for a while,
mm-hmm.
and then when Charlie Beatty from Little Charlie and the Nightcaps retired, Rick Astron went on with the band. The Nightcats, and it became Rick Astron and the Nightcats. And since Charlie was the guitar player, he needed a guitar player, and that's when Kid Anderson stepped in. And it's just kind of, you know, it was the guitar player in that band for a long time. And at some point, he got a hold of some recording gear at his house and started making records. I think he started with his own record and then started doing projects for other people. And somewhere along the line, he's become one of the most, one of the most recorded producers in the blues music genre. And I think of him as a genius because I worked closely with him on this record. We did an album a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
and he's just, I can't really put it to words, but I think genius kind of just sums it up.
Well, this new album is on Alligator Records. Our friend Bruce Iglauer has been a fan of yours for years, and I believe that Bruce helped you pick some of the songs for the album.
Yeah, I wanted some interesting choices. My records are usually considered contemporary blues.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like it. Some people will call it rock blues. When it comes down to it, though, my love is really traditional blues music, and I never really had a chance to make an album like that, like what I would call like a real blues album, you know, something like they might have made in Chicago back in the 50s,
mm-hmm.
you know? and not all Chicago blues, because, you know, I like it from all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
I like that Texas sound, you know,
yeah.
I like that Louisiana sound, certainly like the West Coast sound, and so I did a little bit of everything that I like, and when I decided to do this, I really didn't, you know, normally record my own songs. I'll maybe do a couple of covers, and the rest of it will be original material. In
mm-hmm.
this case, since it was sort of a tribute album in a way to this kind of music, I wanted to, you know, choose some choice covers that haven't been done before
mm-hmm.
or done much. And I don't think except for maybe the Johnny Kitar Watson song called She Moves Me. Mm-hmm. I looked that up. I think Kim Wilson did a version of it about 20 years ago. But other than that, these are songs that haven't been covered. And then, of course, so there's about four songs of ours on there, just to keep me honest. So I went. The point is, I went to Bruce because he's like an encyclopedia of this music. He really knows it inside and out.
Mm-hmm.
And another guy from, I believe from Chicago, Dick Sherman, who did some records with Del Mar, who produced. Mm-hmm. I think he produced Albert Collins with Bruce, and he's another one of these guys that knows everything about this music going back, you know, decades.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows who played on everybody's record and who was in the band at the time and who wrote the songs and, you know, some stories, you know. So anyway, I asked these two guys to send me some ideas, and I had a few ideas of my own. And like I said, and a couple of ideas. That's what happened. I don't know. I can't remember exactly what songs Bruce and Dick sent to me, but because they were both kind of sent them to me at the same time,
mm-hmm.
Along with a few other friends of mine. But mm-hmm. anyway, at the end of the day, I can listen to this thing, and I'm really happy about the choices that we made.
Well, it's just been out for a day now, since February 7th
yeah.
is when it dropped, so congratulations. And it's your 18th album and your first album since 2021. So with a four-year lapse between albums, was it scary? Was it exciting? Were you energized? What was your mood going into the studio to do this album?
Well, I knew it was going to be fun because you don't understand. Kid's studio is his house, basically. And I'll even have to tell you the truth. It's a duplex.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh!
Okay. He lives in one side of a duplex, a two bedroom duplex, and and the whole place is just covered in musical instruments.
Wow!
There's a full size grand piano in the kitchen.
Cool.
Did you have an occasion to meet his neighbor that lives on the other side? I'd love to know what their story is.
It's his brother-in-law.
Oh, good. Oh, that's great.
It's all good. And anyway, you would just have to, you know what, if you get a chance, you guys, just on your own time, go on YouTube and look up Kid Anderson.
Yeah.
Greaseland is what we call the place.
Greaseland.
Just have a look at that. And you'll see what kind of fun. It's like, for a guy like me, it's like going to an amusement park. You know, as a kid,
yeah,
just going there to have fun, and like I said, you know, and typically I'm making these contemporary albums. I try to make something different each time out. I really put a lot of thought into, you know, what I'm going to do, and in this case, I just wanted to have some fun playing blues,
mm-hmm.
and I knew going into Greaseland would be the place to do it. I knew we were going to have some laughs. I knew we were going to play some. And he would just, you know, Kid will do stuff like he just drags one of his, I don't know, I would say dozens. There's dozens and dozens of vintage amplifiers in that place, just stacked
wow.
along the walls of the hallway. And he'll just grab one and bring it to me, you know, and I may plug my guitar in or look around the room and see the, you know, what, depending on the song that we're doing, what kind of guitar I might want to pull off the wall and
uh-huh.
play. And so it was really a lot of fun going in. I knew it was going to be fun. And the only concern that I had is that, you know, people kind of expect me to write my own songs.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing that for a long time. And in this case, we did a lot of covers. And I was afraid that people might think I got lazy.
Mm.
But it was actually, you know, I didn't see the point in writing a bunch of original
Tommy,
songs.
There's not not a lazy lick on the CD, so relax. Okay?
I'm over it now.
You're over it. Okay.
I'm over it. When it finally was finished, you know, and I listened back, I'll tell you a little clue about when I really started to realize that this was going to be good. We had 14 tracks, and we were going to try to, we wanted to get it down to 12,
mm-hmm.
you know, And I'm famous for saying people should put more than 10 songs on an album. I think more than that. And so here we had 14 tracks. We're trying to whittle it down, and we could not decide on one song that should be cut. And so, you know, since then I'm like, I think we got something here.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you didn't cut anything.
Absolutely.
As a matter of fact, we're going to play, and this is a song that independently we all came to the same conclusion. This would be if there were a pick to click, and we love the whole album, but this particular song is one that just gets stuck in the jukebox of our mind. And I love the groove. I love everything about it. Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I love that song! It is so good!
It gets stuck in the jukebox of your mind.
That's one of those that if you were in the studio, you wouldn't believe how loud we had the speakers. I love that song, Tommy!
Well, okay, now it's time for some shout-outs here, because, you know, that was originally... Well, I heard it for the first time by Magic Slim, Chicago...
Oh. Yeah,
man, yes. Magic Slim and the Teardrops, and apparently it was originally done by Brandy McGee.
Wow, it goes back far.
I didn't know that. I thought it was Magic Slim's song, but you know, when we started out in the '90s, Slim and I were always on the same bill, or running into each other at festivals all the time. And man, those were, you know, we were all younger then and partying quite a bit, and we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of laughs, and that was a I got a hold of one of his first albums, and that was on there, and I've been wanting to do it for years. And I'm really glad you picked that one, because, you know, if you notice, it's at the end.
Yes!
Yes! It's the very last song.
Not everybody felt like you do about it.
I mean,
Mr. Igelauer, he was the guy who's like, you know, well, I don't know about that song. Anyway, it makes me feel like dancing.
Well, Tommy, I got to tell you, collectively, when we met before the show, what's your favorite song? Well, that's my favorite song. That's mine. We all chose it as our favorite from the CD.
Really?
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
I mean, that.
That was unsolicited.
My guns, because that was on the chopping block. That was one of the
ones. No, no, no.
That's so funny.
Cut, and it didn't.
The next time we see Bruce, we're going to have to slap him. because
you definitely give him some crap about it.
Because everything about that, I mean, the groove you've got going, the harmony, everything about that is just so good.
I remember reading a review where one critic said your music was Roadhouse meets Church.
Yes.
And that's what I'm thinking with, you know, the way your band is singing back up. And it's great. And that is the last cut on the CD, Close to the Bone. I got to congratulate you, too, because this is a great month for you. There you are. You're the cover model on Vintage Guitar Magazine. Look at you.
I know, that was so cool.
I've
been doing this for a long time, and that's definitely the first time we ever got a cover of Vintage Guitar Magazine, which is one of probably the most popular guitar magazines.
Yes.
It used to be, Guitar Player, and there was a couple of other ones that were important back in the day. And over the years, this publication keeps coming out and keeps getting bigger and stronger, and anyway, it was really an honor to be on there. Old Stratocaster.
Yeah.
In fact, I wanted to ask you about that. I want to get into guitar geek mode here for a second. Tell me about this 66 Stratocaster. That is so cool.
Well, okay, so there's a song on this album called One More Night.
Yeah.
It was done by my old friend Johnny Nitro, a San Francisco blues guitar player that kind of ruled a certain neighborhood where everybody used to go, you know. There was a time when blues was really popular in San Francisco, mm-hmm. and every club in town, every bar in town had blues bands in there, and there was a scene. And Johnny Nitro was kind of the king of that scene, and it was a good friend of mine. And anyway, long story short, I got that guitar from him. He used to keep his guitars in pawn shops because he felt like they were safer there than they were in his apartment. And so... So whenever he wanted one to play one or sell one, he would just go, you know, he'd take the ticket, go down there, get it out. He was going to sell it one night. He was going to sell it to somebody else. And I begged him not to sell it to somebody else, to sell it to me instead. And even though at the time I didn't really have the money to hand over, but I said, you know, it's going to, not only do I want you to let me buy this guitar, but you're going to have to give it to me on time. Little by little. He was such a good friend. He gave it to me for a good price, let me pay it off little by little. And I love that guitar. It's really a part of me.
Now, Tommy, do you think something that I've told Johnny for years, a different guitar teaches you new songs?
Well, you know, when I started playing this again, I put it away for about, I hate to tell you this, but I put it away for about 10 years because it got stolen, mm-hmm. and I got it back.
Oh.
And when I got it back, I threw it under the bed and said, this thing's never leaving the house again, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then I moved and I put it in a closet. And then every time I opened that closet, you know, the guitar was talking to me.
Yeah.
Yep. It was going, let me out!
Yep. You know?
And finally, after a while, I felt silly about leaving it in there, and I took it out, and I had it fixed up a little bit, did a little work on it, and I started playing it again, and then I remembered the magic, you know, me and that guitar. We had a relationship from when I first started, you know, getting gigs and getting record deals and going on the road and all of that stuff. That guitar was with me. It was part of my sound and really, you know, was a part of the journey, and so it just feels great to have it back, and that's, I think that's, you know, how we wound up on Vintage Guitar Magazine, because I told the guys at Alligator, I think that guitar is part of the story of this album.
Yeah,
going back to playing, getting back to my roots, you know, doing a straight up blues album and playing my old Strat, and it's a soulful instrument, and it means a lot to me because it came from this very good friend of mine. Yeah, that's the story. But before before I go any farther, I know I'm coming to Chicago, and we're playing at Space. It's another friend of mine, Dave Spector.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
is one of the owners there.
Yeah,
and a really great guitar player in his own right. Another great Chicago blues guitar player. But I want to give a big shout out to my brother from another mother, Ronnie Baker Brooks.
Yes.
Oh yeah, Ronnie's a good friend.
Yeah, he signed with Alligator finally, and it's a great record, and he's out there, he's tearing it up, and things are going well for him, and I couldn't be happier. We just got off a blues cruise together, and he was killing.
Well, speaking of friends, and we've had some wonderful times with him here after midnight on the radio, you have four shows coming up in the next few weeks with a dear friend of ours, Marsha Ball. I want to be in Texas to see the both of you on the same bill.
You got to give Marsha a hug from us.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't she great, man?
Yeah.
Well, who else does that? There's nobody that does what she does.
That's true.
I don't know one, like, you can say, well, she's one of those, no, she's kind of got her own thing that she does, and it's also very, comes from a great tradition of, you know, Louisiana music.
Right.
Louisiana, Texas, Gulf, you know, she really, embodies that whole thing. And the other thing about Marsha is she's a great humanitarian. People are in need, you know, she helps provide housing for people, and especially musicians, musicians and stuff like that. She makes sure that they have a house to live in.
Yeah.
As they're,
Tommy, I hate to interrupt you, but I'm going to ask you, we have to break. Can we ask you to stick around just for a few minutes?
Oh, sure.
Oh, great. All right. Terrific. Tommy Castro is our guest. And yes, he is coming to Evanston Space on March 5th, and he has a brand new album. And we'll get back to him here on WGN.
Listen, people. Bad luck and trouble. The story of my life. Bad luck and trouble. The story of my life. I can't catch a break from all the struggling and strife. If luck was money.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That is Tommy Castro from a wonderful new album called Closer to the Bone. It belongs in your collection. It has just been released on Alligator Records. And you can see Tommy in Evanston. He will be at Evanston Space on Wednesday, March 5th.
Tommy, will the Painkillers be with you at Space?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
And the band is in really good form at the moment. So I'm really proud to share the stage with these guys. Randy, the bass player, has been with me for about 35 years.
Wow.
How's that possible?
I know.
Just yesterday, you know, when we were the new kids on the block, you know, yeah. We were the new young guys, they got on the scene.
Uh-huh. Well,
now I'm the old blues guy, and I'm just good with that, you know?
Well, during the break, I said to Steve, you know, Tommy was born the same year I was. So that means we're going to be 70 this year. Oh, my God.
I know.
You're just kids.
It doesn't seem like it, though, right? In your mind, but it doesn't feel like that at all. Right?
When you were 10 years old and you started playing guitar, did you in your wildest dream imagine that you would be doing this for the rest of your life?
No, I really did not. And in fact, I always thought it was too good. It would be too good to be true to have a job like that. I grew up in a working class, you know, neighborhood, and everybody had jobs that they hated.
Yeah.
That was the deal. Because, you know, the jobs sucked, that's why they paid you.
Yeah.
I thought it was all just kind of calculated in my brain. And then I started playing for fun, and I, you know, weekends, it was something I did for fun, and I started, as time went on, I was getting better gigs and better bands, and one day I went, you know, I was always trying to start a small business, and I did try a couple of things, and I thought to myself, what if I put all that energy into this and make this my business?
Uh-huh.
It's the only thing that I really look forward to, the only thing I really care about. You know, I used to live for the weekend. To get out there and play with a band, it's a long story, but it all kind of worked out.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a pork chop sandwich down on Maxwell Street?
Oh, yeah.
100 years ago, yes.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, I mean, is that something that everybody knows about, or is it just like, you know, guys like us from California, we dream about, you know.
Oh, funny.
That scene down on Maxwell Street.
Yeah.
When you learn about the blues and, you know, how those guys, you know, everybody started out.
Well
into a storefront, you know, and that whole the Maxwell Street market. It just.
Maxwell Street, I have to ask you, have you ever been to Maxwell Street? Now, this would have been. One of my first bands, and we went to a place called Smokey Joe's, which was the coolest place to get the best threads on the planet. Smokey Joe,
outfits.
A local disc jockey.
Well, the garment district.
Yes.
Right?
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The old garment district. I mean, there was a band called the Dynatones I joined early back in the 90s, and they used to go there. They would go there to shop and get all their clothes there because you could get a lot of really cool, flashy stuff.
That's cheap. It. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or in your case, Steve,
we'd get these silk shirts, you know,
yes,
fall apart in about about a month.
Well, as Steve would say, they never breathe, so you'd be on stage wearing the shirt that was smothering you, but it looked so good.
That's so cool, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Steve, that says a lot about you.
Well, mentioning Maxwell Street, you got to get your hands on a book. A friend of ours, we had him on the show a couple of months ago when the book came out. Carrie Baker has a book, Adventures on Maxwell Street. It's all about busking.
It's a wonderful book.
It's the history of busking on Maxwell Street. You will love it. And people...
I think I would like that.
Yeah, and for people who grew up in Chicago, we kind of took it for granted. You go there on a Sunday morning, you get a bite to eat, maybe a pork chop sandwich, you pick up some good stuff, and you go home. But it was like a ritual. And then reading his book, I went, wow, there was so much going on that I didn't even appreciate when I was living it because of the great musicians that were there.
When we first started coming to town, it was the early 90s. By the time I got there, maybe late 80s. Mm-hmm. And I remember just the tail end of Maxwell Street, just before it went away. And I think there's still a couple of shops down there.
Yeah.
Where you can get a pork chop sandwich or a Polish, you know, you go those big greasy bags of French fries, man.
Oh, yeah.
After drinking all night, you know,
you're killing us.
Two pork chop sandwiches and a bag of
greasy French fries.
Dripping with grease.
Yeah.
I was dripping with grease.
Yes.
Oh, it was heaven.
Okay, now fess up. After you hang up with us, what are you going to have for a snack?
Oh, probably something low in sugar and carbohydrates.
Yes. You know, welcome to our advanced age.
I'm trying to stay in shape so I can get out there and do this stuff like a young man. You know, I'm doing the work of a guy maybe 30 years old. You know, the touring schedule and the you know, just the physical, you know, work involved.
Absolutely.
And, you know, staying out there on the road. You know, in and out of hotels every night, schlepping bags up and down. Sometimes stairs, elevators, or whatever, and then traveling. You know, luckily we travel in a bus these days. So if I need a nap in the middle of the day, I can get one. But it's a little more comfortable than the old days in a van. But still, it's
a lot. Yeah,
and you get up there every night. It's like the only time you ever played. You know, you're going to give them the show.
Yeah.
It's going to be everything you've got goes into it, and at the end of the night, you feel it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I feel like you gave it everything you got. It hurts.
Well, you've got like 30 shows coming up. I hate to break it to you, but I was looking at your schedule.
And I know your schedule is going to be really tight when you get to the Midwest, but I hope sometime we can get you in the studio with us sometime. We would love to have you hang out and pick a little bit in the studio with us sometime.
Oh, yeah. No, I'd love that, too.
Let
me just give a quick shout out to a couple of other friends of mine around. You know Nick Moss and Kate. Right?
Yes,
of course.
Of
yeah,
course.
They're dear friends of ours.
Dear friends of mine too. And there was
you got a show with Nick and
Ronnie and his brother. Well, Wayne Baker Brooks also was on the Blues Cruise this last week.
Right,
you know, another friend of mine. Who am I forgetting?
Let me mention that your special guest is Nick Moss when you're playing Bloomington, Illinois. So for folks who don't get to catch you at Space in Evanston on March 5th, on March 4th, you will be at the Castle Theater. You, the Painkillers, and your special guest will be the Nick Moss Band at 7:30 that night. Well, we could keep
I forgot about that.
Yeah, we could keep you all night. And I hope you'll come back and visit us again because this is going to be a great year for you. You're hitting the ground running with the new CD on the cover of the Vintage Guitar magazine.
And if things work out, we may see you up at Evanston Space.
March 5th, yeah.
I sure hope so, you guys. It'd be great to meet you in person. And thank you for the time. And thank you for all the kind words about this new record. I feel better already.
Well, thank you for your good music. Really, Tommy, thank you so much. Take care. Be careful.
You bet, guys.
Thanks so much, Tommy.
It's Tommy Castro.
And I'm not just saying this. The album is so good.
You know what? During a break, too, I looked up the guy that produced it, Kid Anderson.
Right.
Oh, he's amazing. Doing all this in his duplex apartment. When you see on YouTube, there's some interviews with him, too. He is a phenom. And the way this CD is recorded, it feels
it's so
alive. It really does. It feels great.
It really does. And, you know, we're not just smoking here. It is a great CD.
It's called Closer to the Bone on Alligator Records. It was out on Friday, was the day that it dropped. So it's brand new.
And that one track, Hole in the Wall,
yes.
That may be one of my favorite tracks of the year.
How
I absolutely
funny.
Love that.
And it almost ended up on the cutting room floor. So
we're going to have to talk to Bruce Iglauer about that.
You know what? We said we need to get him on the radio anyway to talk about the history of Alligator Records.
Yeah, it's been too long since we've had Bruce on the show.
We did a couple hours with him 10, 12 years ago.
It was around the 40th anniversary of Alligator or something like
that.
Yeah,
and he's doing some amazing stuff with that record label. We've got so much to squeeze in the next few minutes, so please do stay with us here on WGN.
They call me sweetness, and I like the
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Yeah,
once again, wrap your mind around the fact
1985.
40 years.
Oh,
and it was New Orleans.
Yeah.
So now here we are back in New Orleans, and in our newsroom is Gabe Salgado, and Gabe is taking off his news hat for a few minutes and putting on his sports hat for a little sports between the sheets.
So Gabe, the key question is, and Johnny and I were talking about this earlier, a lot of the betting has to do with, is Taylor going to get the ring this weekend?
Can you believe it?
Now, I could say, is it a trick question? But I was paying attention earlier when you mentioned that as a prop bet. I mean,
that's a Vegas
line.
They're
betting on everything connected with the Super Bowl.
Sure.
Here's my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that would be ideal and would get a lot of attention and social media reaction if he did propose to her after the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I say, if you're going to do that, only do it if you win.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Do not try to change the whole mood by going, and by the way, honey, I'd like to know if you'd marry me.
I mean, if you know, say that does happen and they do lose the game, you know, do it in the locker room, nobody pays attention to it, right?
Right.
But, it doesn't surprise me that's even up for debate. But I mean, you know,
we'll
find out in a few hours.
The other big debate, then there's a line on this too, is Kendrick Lamar's halftime show, and is he going to sing the song that won him multiple Grammys, which is his fight with Drake?
Mm-hmm.
Not Like Us. What do you think? Is he going to sing the song? What's your take?
You know, I'll be honest with you, I don't listen to much Kendrick Lamar or Drake, so I know that they don't get along. I don't know the whole story behind it. So
this,
I mean, it's hip hop, so I can only imagine how deep that goes.
Well, the odds are, if he sings this song, I guess the crowd is going to go wild because it is pointing a finger right at Drake, and it's not pretty. So, and then of course there's a line on how many songs will he do in the halftime. Is he going to do 8? Is he going to do 10?
But then I also saw, and some people are surprised to learn that the performer for the Super Bowl halftime doesn't get paid.
No.
And that's been the case for years.
Yeah. I never knew that.
Oh, yeah.
They do it for the publicity.
Okay.
Because it's huge.
Because they couldn't pay for the kind of publicity they will get from this one show.
It's worldwide.
Literally millions of dollars worth of publicity.
Worldwide. Yeah. Okay, so another one of the things is who will be the MVP. And that's kind of a toss-up until we see the game, right?
I mean, obviously, the most obvious candidates would be the two quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
But another potential MVP candidate, obviously, you know, Travis Kelce, mm-hmm. Saquon Barkley would be in that mix. I would even throw in Jalen Carter for the Eagles.
Okay.
And, you know, that, you know, depends on how this game goes. So there's actually a few players that have the potential to win Super Bowl MVP, and yeah. as we've history has shown us, players from both sides of the ball have won the awards. So, you know, that can go either way as well. I definitely expect a close game, and I definitely think it'll come down to the wire like it did 2 years ago when these two teams met in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So it'll definitely be fun to watch.
And it's, the big question is, will it be a three-peat for Kansas City? That would be a big deal. And, of course, you know.
And if it is, can they legally use the term three-peat?
Three-peat. Yes.
The Bulls have that copyrighted, if I remember correctly.
That's
they do.
Right.
Okay. They do.
Yeah.
So I would definitely, you know, if I was betting money, I would probably bet on KC just because all the momentum is in their hands right now. But
yeah.
At the same time, if the Eagles can get Saquon Barkley going early and often, and we've seen during this postseason that when nobody can stop him, and nobody stops the Eagles. Mm-hmm. And if they can get him going early, it's going to be tough against the Chiefs defense. They'll definitely increase the Eagles' chances of winning. So, like I said, it's going to be a very close game.
I've enjoyed some videos that I've come across of Saquon Barkley just being a regular guy with fans,
yeah.
kids that come to the game, and they just absolutely adore him. And he's so good to them. I mean, he stops, he talks to them, he signs their jerseys. It's just like a really... You know, I don't know much about his performance other than it's pretty impressive, but I thought, you know, he's a nice guy, too.
And that goes back to his college days at Penn State. He was the same way.
Really?
He would take time to, you know, meet with the kids, especially, you know, at the hospitals and stuff.
Yes.
So, yeah, that, he's always been, you know, that type of player that, you know, he understands that, you know, yeah, I do this on the field and this is how I earn my living, but at the same time, it's important to give back too.
Yeah,
so.
And these kids really, really love him.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. So you think it's going to be a close game, and if you were a betting man, you'd go KC. I'm right there with you if I was I'm betting anything. And then we would have to decide, well, what color will the Gatorade be? I'm going with the favored yellow/green Gatorade because that's another line in Vegas. What color will the Gatorade be? Which is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think to this point in my life, I've had like every color of Gatorade.
Really?
So that can go either way.
Yes. I can't believe they say odds are favoring the yellow/lime green Gatorade. Okay. And then there was also the question of whether Coach Andy is going to...
I was glad to see that he has signed. He is coming back next year.
Yes. Yeah, he is coming back. But one of the lines in Vegas is whether or not there's going to be a tiff between him and Travis Kelce. Because remember, Gabe, last year when Travis got in his face and everybody went, whoa, that man has anger issues. Look at him. He's
yeah.
yelling at his coach like that.
You know, I chalk that up to the fact, I mean, you're playing for the championship of
yeah.
your league, and emotions are high, adrenaline's yeah. running, and anytime something goes wrong, you know, you're always going to be upset. You're always going to be,
yes.
you know, you're going to go back and think, what could I have done differently? I don't recall at least them having similar dust-ups before. I think it was just, spur of the moment
yeah.
thing that just
yeah.
happened. I don't think it'll happen again. So if they're betting on it, obviously they're running out of things to bet on. But
you know what else was very cool to see? I don't know if you watch Jimmy Kimmel very often, but they did this bit with Guillermo, and they
yes.
had him at some of the Super Bowl
pregame
festivities. And everybody was just so welcoming of him and went along with whatever
yeah.
bits that he wanted to do. It was really fun.
Guillermo has a microphone that he can unscrew the mic muff, and it's tequila in the microphone.
Doesn't he do something like that every year?
Yes, he
yes.
does.
Okay. It's become an annual bit.
Gotcha.
They seem to welcome him now because they're like, oh, Guillermo's in the crowd. So they put up with the ridiculous questions that he asks them.
Yeah, I'm sure I've probably seen clips of it.
Yeah.
Normally, I'm actually usually watching sports when the late night shows are on. I don't watch those very often. Although, I did watch them. I particularly became a fan of both Jay Leno and Conan O'Brien in high school because I didn't have cable. So
yeah,
but I don't really get a chance to watch those shows much anymore. But I have seen clips of it, and I know that's something that they've been doing for a while on that show.
Well, you need to take off your sports hat, and thank you for your insights. And we will come back in just a few here on WGN.
Connie Putman at WGN Radio. That's John Batiste and Freedom.
And we're playing a little John Batiste because he will be the person singing the national anthem at the Super Bowl tomorrow. And there's a line on his performance of the national anthem. Will he sing 65 seconds like Neil Diamond sang, or will he sing 2.5 minutes like Alicia Keys? So what's it going to be? I predict he's going to go probably closer to 2 minutes because he gets in a groove like that song Freedom, and it's his turf. It's his.
But I'm kind of curious to see what is he going to do with it, because some people sing it straight. Then there are other people, and my most favorite was Marvin Gaye, who take it in their own, respectfully, yes, but they put their own stamp on it. So
my money's
I almost think that he's going to put his own stamp on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see him getting into a groove because, again, it's his town, and he's such a good musician.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be good. I was surprised that Neil Diamond was just slightly over a minute for the anthem.
Yeah.
It's like, get it done, get out of here.
Yeah. Well, we are rapidly running out of time.
Yes, we
are. And there's so many things that we wanted to get to yet in a smackerel of a show. One of the things we wanted to mention is that next week we have a full show. So that means we get going at 9 p.m. Central. And Tom Appel will be joining us. We'll talk cars. Mm-hmm. We may have Joel Simonillo, who hasn't been feeling real good. But if she recovers, she's going to spend some time at the auto show. So we may talk with her, too.
She's a fantastic auto journalist. And one of a handful of women that are now reporting on automobiles.
And a couple other things wanted to mention. We've had a number of people that have asked us, why are we talking about moving to Blue Sky and follow us on our blog, and why are we not enamored of Facebook? I'll give you one example. Our friend Charlie Meyerson, and we just had Charlie on a couple weeks ago. You should check out his website, Chicago Front Page.
Public Square.
And Charlie just posted on Facebook that just within this week, he's had a couple of his posts censored. He doesn't know why.
Or which ones.
Facebook just arbitrarily decides now, and they've been doing this more and more and more. Zuckerberg is getting squirrely with Facebook. And you would think if they're going to censor something, they would say, okay, Julian, we censored this because we don't like pancakes, and you mentioned pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not. It's just arbitrarily, no, your posts are going out. So please follow us on Blue Sky. Just do a search for Steve and Johnny on Blue Sky. And you can also follow us on our blog.
And again, we'd like to remind you that our blog is a way for you who choose not to be on any other social media to find out what we're up to. You get to see our pictures. You get to see our recipes. And
if you subscribe, there's no charge. We don't spam you. There's no charge. You just get an email anytime we do a new post.
It's our own little corner that we can just kind of sit over there and communicate with you and not worry about somebody deciding that they don't like a word. Yeah. Or a picture, and just taking it down.
And you can just go to steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. And also one of the things that's going on this weekend, excuse me, I'm going to spend a lot of time Sunday afternoon, along with Patrick Crispin. We're redoing steveandjohnny.com, making some major upgrades to that. And we'll tell you, hopefully next week, that will all be completed.
So is he not going to watch the Super Bowl? Because it would be 3:30 his time.
We're recording it.
Oh, and that's what he said.
And I strongly recommend everybody, record the Super Bowl, because there will be moments. And you don't want to go back and say, oh, somebody erased this or that. No, record it. Yeah. Record the pregame show. Do all that.
And the commercials. Dave Plyer was on television on Friday on Channel 9 talking about a new display for the Museum of Broadcast Communications. And it's the top Super Bowl commercials of all time.
And I guess that is only online because the Museum of Broadcast Communications doesn't have, at the moment, a physical place to be.
Yeah, and mortar kind of place. Yeah. But I thought that was interesting that they've narrowed it down to the top 10 commercials of all time. And the millions and millions.
Budweiser has to be in there.
Yeah, yeah. But the millions of dollars being spent for a 30-second commercial just blows my mind. Wasn't it WeatherTech we heard about the other day?
Oh, yeah. WeatherTech.
Love them,
and it's like
they're in Bolingbrook.
How many million? Yeah, how many millions of dollars for a 30-second spot?
Commercial.
Like $8 million for a 30-second spot, or something like that.
And they say it's worth it for them to do the one commercial because look at the eyes that are on them worldwide. And I thought, well, you go WeatherTech. I love that company.
Yeah, that's a classic example of a company that. That is very, very focused on making things in this
America.
Country and
yeah.
doing it right and doing
and that's
it really
not how
well.
They started out because we heard this backstory on them how that's not originally the product that they sold was being brought in from overseas and they decided no.
They designed it.
Yep.
But now they've got the whole widget in Bolingbrook.
Yep.
So
yep,
good
yep.
for them. By the way, if you would like to start getting your dialing fingers ready, because we're getting close to the moment. We don't hear the Zamboni yet, but just get ready. 312-981-7200 if you would like to be our last caller.
I have to laugh when you mention Zamboni because a listener just texted from 847. He says, thank you for your awesome show tonight. I loved your reminiscing about Bob Collins. I got a chance to talk to him on the air back in the mid-80s, and it was a blast. I wonder what he would say about the Zamboni on WGN now. He would probably love it.
I think he'd love it.
Yeah, Theater of the Mind. He was all about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some really sweet texts from people who had memories that they wanted to share. And some folks who did not know Bob texted tonight to say that they zipped over to WGNradio.com and they clicked on a couple of the audio pieces of him. Mm-hmm. And a couple of people said, oh, yeah, I get it. Yeah, you can't listen to him without laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was surprised that John Williams didn't remember, because we were listening to John earlier this week. John didn't remember when Bob did a split shift.
But well, John wasn't here then.
But I can remember listening to that for years. Bob was on like 2 to 4 and then from 7 to 9 or something
Well,
like that.
In 1975, when I was at the University of Tennessee, we would sit in the few of us that were from Chicago would sit in the parking lot of the dorm, and we were able to pick up GN and his show from 7 to 9 at night.
And wasn't there was it Roy Leonard was doing afternoons for a while?
Yeah.
And Bob was doing the split shift. Bob went out for lunch and never came back, and Roy Leonard wound up having to do long shift.
There was a restaurant in Irving Park that became the place where he would spend the 2 hours between his shows.
What was the name of that restaurant?
2 hours, and then a little...
That's back when we were over on Bradley Place.
A little liquid something or other to steal himself for the last 2 hours of the show. So...
Oops!
I know.
Blue lights are flickering, and I'm starting to hear the Zamboni.
And by the way, I did not do a shout out, but thank you all for checking in on our Facebook page and at 312-981-7200 to tell us that you're listening. I think I saw something like 14 or 15 states that checked in to tell us that they were tuned in. And next Saturday we will have a full show. So yes. For those of you who said, well, I tuned in and there was a basketball game on. What was that all about?
It was about basketball.
It's basketball. And it was great to hear Dave Emmett on a Saturday night.
312-981-7200 if you would like to be our last caller and win some goodies from this here radio station. If you haven't won anything within the past 60 days or too much.
Food.
Too much or not too much? That is the question.
When Tommy Castor,
I vote for munching.
When he started talking about greasy french fries, I thought, stop. Yeah. Now.
Yeah.
Do not go any further with pullet sausage and greasy french fries.
312-981-7200. That number again, 312-981-7200.
You can be our last caller, and we have some goodies in our back pocket that we would be happy to share with you. You could just simply tell us what you're going to be doing on Super Bowl Sunday. Are you watching the game? Do you have any money riding on it? Are you in the kitchen making a snack? What is it going to be?
Well, what is going to be your snack of choice for the Super Bowl?
You know what? I put only healthy stuff.
You're no fun.
I got like celery and carrot sticks. Maybe if I make some ooey gooey ranch dip, it'll make the celery and carrot sticks go down easier. Right. What was I thinking?
I don't know.
We need nachos and well, anyway.
Yeah.
We'll take a break and we'll come back for the final few minutes here on the Steve and Johnny Show on WGN.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend.
All right, people.
It's time to go home.
Sure is.
It's only been 2 hours.
Yep.
Losing time.
Head on out. Let's go.
Yep.
You don't have to go home.
Yeah, you really kind of do.
But you can't stay here.
Nope.
So we were driving down, I think it was Peterson, and I noticed tonight, because we took that route, and I thought, there are a lot of taverns, like old school taverns on Peterson.
Yeah.
I never noticed that before, but there was a lot of activity, maybe because we were a little bit later. That's the kind of song I imagine hearing for the last call in a tavern.
Yeah.
Not a bar, not a club, but a tavern.
A tavern.
There's a difference.
And by the way, that is Red Peters and the closing song.
Yes.
And you can find it on YouTube. And no, we're not going to play the whole thing unless it's our last broadcast ever on any form of media. Of course, actually, technically, we could play it, but
it's not our style to play the rest of it. Okay, we have a bank of calls, and I'm going to randomly choose a number. I'm not looking at the phone screen. I'm going to choose a number, Steve. I'm going with this number. I'm holding up my fingers to show you.
That and number, I'm counting 1, 2, 3. That would be Al. Hi, Al. You're on WGN. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Dyer, Indiana.
Well, welcome.
Steve, I used to be in Whiting, Indiana, and I've followed you since you were on WJOB in Hammond, Indiana.
Wow. Well, thank you.
A few summers ago.
Thank you. I started on WJOB in May of 1966.
Yep. And you know what? I just called really to say thank you. Your former station manager, the late Dan Fabian, and I went to grade school together.
Oh.
Lived on the same block. Had so many good moments. We were part of, and I also taught with your brother's partner for 30 years over at TF North.
I was just going to
John Cruzan.
I was going to ask you. Yes.
Hey, John. And we were on the winning team for the 1988 Bob Collins Trivia Contest.
That's right.
I remember that.
Yes. That was so exciting because I was doing traffic for Bob at that time.
Yep.
And there you came in with John and the gang, and you guys did really well, too.
Yeah, heaven was kind to us that day. And we also knew Oat Dreamstra when he had his roller rink and pizza joint in Lansing.
Sure, Roger.
Events out there.
Yes.
And was it Pipes and Pizza? Was that the name of it?
That was the name of it, on Ridge Road over there.
Yes. Used to be a theater.
And there were so many nights when I was overnights driving back and forth to college or to work that GN really kept me focused and informed and kind of awake. And I just, you know, I'm pretty far downstream, you know. I mean, you know, when I was born, Snow White only had three dwarfs. You were just getting started.
Oh, stop.
Ba-da-bum. You need a rim shot for that.
Yeah, I understand.
So you retired from teaching from TF North.
I did, and then I was rehired to teach special needs kids over at Lake Central to another 14 years.
Oh, my God.
Good for you.
Teaching. And yeah. I never had a better time. I still can't believe they paid me to have such a good time with those kids.
How lucky they were to have you.
And I bet the kids really appreciated you.
Well, you know what? They were pretty kind to this old fossil. Along the way, I wrote a couple books, and I've really had a good time. But I just wanted to call and say thank you for all the good moments. Wayne Jancic, I have his book that you were kind enough to send me. We had a little contest on the radio one night when you were on the air. And
the Billboard Book of One Hit Wonders.
Yeah, you betcha.
Wow. But, you know, God bless you guys.
Well, we've got a lot of history with you. This is very cool because, as we were saying earlier, as we were talking about Bob, we said it's 25 years ago. It's really possible that many people had never heard him as they were listening to us tonight. And it's just really fun to reminisce. I can remember when you guys came in for the big trivia contest. And for folks who don't know, that was a big deal, wasn't it?
It really was. You know?
Oh, my gosh.
And I mean, you know what? My neighbor, Mike Rapchak, was on the All Night Show.
Oh, my.
I sent a note to Wally Phillips years ago and suggested that WGN should give a diploma because we learned so much from this radio station. It was really something.
Mike Rapchak, one of our favorite people. Mike was the guy who was nice enough to give us Les Paul's phone number.
Right.
Because one night... we were driving home from someplace. We were out late on a Saturday night. Mike Rapchak was on, and I heard him talking to Les Paul, and I couldn't believe it because I was such a Les Paul fan. And the next week, we made a point to come in. We normally didn't get to see Mike, but we made a point to come in and talk to Mike and asked him if he would give us Les's number. And he said, well, sure. And then that was the beginning of our friendship with Les Paul.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, Mike was a really class person.
I mean, oh, boy, was he.
And I still love to have a copy of that closing of his with that, you know, write me a letter, babe, because that was really a great way to close the show.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You know stuff. Gosh. Yeah. Now, you said you wrote two books. Were your books fiction, nonfiction?
I've been writing a little column since 1990, and I've just written about things that the way we grew up. We all have stories, and I wanted to tell my story so my kids would understand how I became the person I am.
Nice.
So I put those columns in a book called Help Mom with the Dishes, Lessons from Life's Classroom, and the second one's called Cook's Choice, Musings and Memories from the Mind Cafeteria. But
Are the books still available?
Oh, yeah, they're on... Yeah, I've only sold six of them. You know, I mean, I don't know a lot of people that I guess. But, you know, the adventure is having your people that you really care about understand why you became, you know. Because we all have struggles and achievements and
of course.
Disappointments. I mean, that's life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to read your books.
And you know what? Speaking of books, I'm assuming you don't have a copy of our book about Les Paul, do you, Al?
Well, I have them all but that one. I have Roger Treemstra's.
Oh.
You know, I have over 200 books on rock and roll and music.
Well, we have to send you a copy of our Les Paul book. We are going to do that. We have our own stash. We'll send you a copy. And we're also going to send you, because I think if anybody deserves an official WGN t-shirt, it's you, Al. So we're going to send you one of those as well.
I can barely keep my feet from dancing.
It's so nice to meet you again. Thank you, Al, for calling and for listening.
Hold on for a couple seconds. And, Julian, if you can make sure that you get the name of Al's books, and because we want to get copies of his books,
and we'll
too.
Bring a copy of ours in to mail to him, too.
How cool.
Yeah. Gosh. I remember that day when they came in to do the contest, and that was such a big deal.
And was it on the 8th floor? At the Tribune Tower?
Oh, in the big conference room?
Because they went into the huge...
No, the big theater. The big theater.
Yeah, what do they call that room? It was a...
It was a big deal, and the kids came and cheered.
The McCormick something...
And the winning team, the whole school, got a day at Great America. I mean, it was a very big deal. That is...
Well, and didn't Milt Rosenberg do some of the questions?
Oh, yes. We all did some of the questions. And we're like, well, we are not worthy of questions. When you heard Milt's questions, you're like, oh, forget it. Well, that was a great place to end for our, as you like to call it, our smackerel of a show.
Yes.
Our tidbit of a show. We have a full show coming up Saturday night. We do have some pictures of our trip into the station tonight posted on our Facebook page.
And you can go to facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. But also, really, try to find us on Blue Sky. Because we are weaning ourselves away from Facebook. They're getting a little too wonky. So look for Steve and Johnny on Blue Sky. And also, check out our blog. You can go to steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. And as I said, we're redoing our own website, which is steveandjohnny.com. But we're don't worry about it right now because we're redoing some things over the weekend. Next week, full show. Tom Appel will be joining us. We'll talk cars and who knows what else we'll get into.
Oh, gosh. All of a sudden, I remembered to have to talk about this next week, the auto show and Bob Collins and the TV shows that I did with him and the time that he had makeup on his face and he was allergic to it and his face swelled up like a big old pumpkin. And
it did. Okay. I think we're just about out of
words.
Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Stay safe. Talk to you next week.